Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Steve, talk to us. I know you, Lord gave you an abiding word you want to share with us about end times of crisis.
Absolutely.
What do we do?
Well, so oftentimes, you know, I think about, I see a lot of people, and I encounter a lot of people on a daily basis that are on vacation, they're on a long trip, and it's amazing how, of all the things that you kind of pack together, and it's like, everybody can kind of relate to those moments when they had a vacation in the past, and it's that one freak out moment when you realize that, oh, where's my phone? Oh my goodness, did you pack the phone? Did you grab your phone? Where's my phone? And it's like, everything gets put on halt at that one moment.
Now, that happened to me yesterday. I left my phone somewhere.
There you go.
That wasn't a good phone.
What you think about it, though, is at that one moment, it's like we can have a personal crisis. And I think about, like, you know, in one day, a whole life can focus on a day of celebration. I think about, like, a wedding. You have all these different parts. You got the DJ. You have the florist. You have the greeter. Or if they have those, you have the photographer. But you think about the bride and the groom, they focus on this day, and they're imagining perfection, right?
At least she is.
Somebody is. But what if something goes missing? What if somebody doesn't show up? What if the photographer isn't there? What if there's, you know, no tablecloths, or it's just like there's a crisis on their hands? And people are instantly realizing, like, okay, we can't go any further. This whole situation has to come to a halt. And I was reading about a very similar situation in John 2, and John chapter 2, and it's that there was a wedding that happened. And Jesus is with his disciples, right? And so often it's just like we can overlook something and not realize how important it is in that specific situation. And in that moment, they ran out of wine. There was no more wine. And Jesus' mother actually turns to Jesus and she says, they have no more wine. And obviously, Jesus' first response is, you know, why are you involving me? Well, Jesus' mother turns to his disciples and she says, just do whatever he says. But there was a response, and immediately Jesus says, go grab some jars. He says, fill the jars with water. So they fill them up. And it was in the response of that, and he says, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. The master of the banquet, he tastes the water, and he goes back, and they're responding. What was originally water, it became wine. And the master of the banquet is just celebrating. But the thing is, though, is that the master didn't know where it came from. Only the disciples knew, because they were there in the interchange between Jesus' mother and Jesus. And the master of the banquet calls one of the bridegrooms aside, and he says, you know, everybody brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but they save the best until now. But I think about that one specific encounter, is that there was such a crisis. There was such a significant change of things that had happened that people didn't know what to do. But somebody turned to Jesus and said, okay, we need... what do we do? There were people, when you look at that, and it's just like, I've prayed about this and looked at this so many times, and it's amazing how God will just take you deeper into his word. But when you look in that whole situation, you look around those who were with Jesus, you had people that knew his voice, you had people that were walking with him, you had people that responded, and you look at those that brought his wine to those that didn't know Jesus. And when I was reading that, the Holy Spirit reminded me, it's just like when you look at Psalms 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about crisis. I know it was kind of humorous saying, I lost my phone, or where's the photographer? But for that one specific person who lost his phone, that was a crisis. Like, I know this is kind of a joke, but my life is on that phone. Or you look at somebody who is having a wedding, it's just like, yeah, this is funny, the photographer's not here, but this is a big day for them. This is a moment of celebration. And the reason what I'm saying this is that this whole situation had an answer, had a response, because there were people that responded to the voice of Jesus. And you think about where we are right now. I think about one of the past segments we were talking about, Room 219, the Prayer Caucus, Congress, talking about a grassroots movement that's arising and it's gaining ground. It's like, in the state of America right now, we are in a crisis.
By far.
We are beyond, okay, things need to stop. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a line drawn in the sand. And what really is brought to my attention is that these disciples went out and responded to what Jesus said. They told others about Jesus. They said, okay, hey, this is what we need to do. And when you read in Romans, it says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? And when you look at that, they responded. The disciples responded. And you got to connect that. You got to see the fact that the master of the banquet didn't have wine. He didn't know Jesus. But because of the people that did know Jesus connected the dots, so that there were those that ended up knowing Jesus. And when you look at this, the master of the banquet said, you saved the best until now. You know, the many conversations that we've had, we've been talking about the Brownsville Revival. We've talked about Azusa Street. We've talked about the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening. But God says, I'm going to save the best until the last. Mm-hmm. And amidst the crises, amidst the happenings, amidst the devastations, we can look at that one moment and say, okay, we got a crisis on our hands. And then the question is, what do we do? What do we do? There's people that are around Jesus that know his voice, the church. There's people that are walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. the church. And there's got to be people that obey the voice of Jesus, just like the disciples did. Because they have the wine. They know Jesus' voice. And by responding, there's going to be those that don't know Jesus who will. And when they taste his wine, like it says in Psalms, when they taste and see how good God is, they're going to be encouraged. And God even showed me and even took me even more of awareness, because like I said, right now we are in a crisis. And listening to in that past segment about Room 219, it just reminds me of, I believe it was the cave of Adullam, when David was in the cave. And but God was reminding him that he always had a remnant amidst all the darkness, amidst all the travesties. God had set aside a small number of people that still feared his name, still revered his name, still hungered and thirsted for righteousness. And it's like there are still a number of a remnant of a people in America that are crying out for Jesus and believing and understanding where we came from. And when you look back in the book of Haggai, in chapter 2, it talks about it. It says, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? When you look back and you think about Azusa Street, and you look back and you think about the First Great Awakening and Jonathan Edwards and just the miracles and just the awesome presence of the glory of God, and it says, how does it look to you now? And you look at the church right now, and it's just like, can we get an alarm or something here? I mean, can we get like a cup of caffeine? Like, we got to wake up. We got to see what's going on. And it says, does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel. He says, declares the Lord. He says, be strong. He says, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. And he talks about the fact that God sees this where we are right now. And the fact that we are in a crisis, the fact that we're proverbial right now, there's no wine. But the fact is that God is saving his best for the last. And you jump down to verse 9, he says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And you look at where we are in America, and it's like, where is the peace? It seems like there's so much contention. It's like we're divided on every topic, every subject, every front. There's division, there's strife. Mm. We're in a crisis right now. Mm. But those that are listening to the voice of the Lord, those that are walking with Jesus, when we respond to Jesus, obey what his word says, just like he said, is that when you live by his word, his ways, and his truth, God's about to pour out his wine. And the wine that's coming is greater than the wine of the former. And that is that moment. This is that day. This is that hour when we can respond as we're walking to Jesus, walking with Jesus, and watch him pour out his wine.
Mm.
Powerful.
Wow. Yeah, there is new wine coming. You know, in the last days, Joel 2:28, he will pour my spirit out on all flesh.
Yeah.
And that's what we're believing for. You know, oftentimes people think that they're in crisis, but it's like, oh, just live a little bit. That's not really a crisis. You know, mm-hmm. Live a little bit. But the nation at large, we are at critical mass. We're at a point where either we're going to seek God with everything we have, or we're going to exist really to be a nation. And we have a choice. That's the whole thing. We still have a choice. We still can respond. And I think that we are at that proverbial fork in the road. And America mm-hmm. has to decide. And each individual, when you say America, it seems like people throw off the responsibility themselves and say, yeah, those Americans. No, you.
Yeah.
You, the individual citizen, you, the believer, you have to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to step up and step in and say, I'm going to personally respond to Jesus Christ? I'm personally going to do something about it. I feel called a responsibility, not just for myself to know God, but I need to be able to tell somebody about him, because I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. You know, when there's times of crisis, people can be either self-focused or they can be God-focused. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times crisis reveals what's on the inside of people. You know, crisis oftentimes, if you know, people go into a mode where they're just trying to survive and try to take care of themselves.
Right.
But believe me, that at moments of crisis, you want to be walking with God, because when those crises come, you want to be able to share Jesus with all of those that are hurting and going through a difficult time. So we want to encourage you. Listen, God is going to pour out his spirit. You just want to be one that's fanning the flame of this fire that is coming.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.